May only his word be spoken, only his word heard. Amen. Let me start this message with a very simple question. Do you believe Jesus was real? Let me clarify, okay? What I mean is, do you believe he was a true historical person and God in the flesh?
Yes.
Okay. Then let me follow up with another question. Now let me ask you, would Jesus lie to you, or would he mislead you intentionally ever? Then you have to know that the devil, Satan, exists. Because who speaks of him? A lot. Jesus does. Jesus does. You need to know that he is a spiritual being. He's thoroughly evil. That he is your mortal enemy. And that he wishes for your eternal destruction. All of this Jesus tells us. In John chapter 8, he says the two major characteristics of the devil are that he is a murderer and that he is a liar. In fact, that's his language, lying. Now let's face it, in Western culture, the devil is kind of a cosmic joke. Even in Christian circles, we joke about the devil and don't take him as a serious threat. "Lead me not into temptation," sings Laurie White in an old country song, because, she sings, "I can find him all by myself." In fact, speak of the devil and take him seriously, and you're going to be labeled one of those. You know what I'm talking about, a nutcase, a fanatic. But there he is all over the Bible. There is Satan, the devil, spoken about. In 1 Peter 5:8, he's pictured as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Boy, did that picture really speak to the Christians, the early Christians, as they were run into the Colosseum to be eaten by lions. In Ephesians 6, it is said that the devil and his angels are described as powers of this dark world and as spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Jesus, in teaching us the Lord's Prayer, said, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." But really, the better translation of that is, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one," from the devil, from Satan. The devil would like nothing more than be considered a cosmic joke, something just dreamed up, non-existent. If he's not revealed himself to you, if you've never been hassled by the devil or you think there's a devil, it's probably because you've done nothing that concerns him. But you can be sure that the devil is active in this world. The contrast between the first temptation and the temptation of Jesus, one in a pristine garden, the Garden of Eden, and the other in a desert, in a wilderness, is a picture of the ruin which he has brought and by our own evil desires. The world is filled with evil. So if we can agree that the devil exists, and that he is evil and active in this world, then let's proceed to the three questions I want to tackle. Number one, how does the devil tempt us? Number two, how does Jesus become our champion, our hero? And number three, how can we live in this victory that Jesus has won for us? So let's do number one. How does the devil tempt us? The devil's goal is singular. It is to separate us from God the Father and His Son and the Spirit, the one true God. His goal was the same with in tempting Jesus. And he did that by attacking Jesus' identity. If you are the Son of God, he says, if you are, you have reason to doubt it, Jesus. If you are a child of God, if you are you really? He attacks our identity. The devil wants you to be independent. He desires that you be self-oriented. And if you can turn stones into bread, then by all means do it. Think of yourself. Think of your hunger. Use whatever you have for yourself. Notice how the devil can quote Scripture and pervert it. He makes it say what we actually want it to say, what our desires say. I wish God would say this, allow this, or whatever. We see this everywhere today. The devil is distorting God's word and lying about God's word. You know, there are preachers, and really this is, for me in my ministry, this is a relatively contemporary happening, where preachers are saying what is evil is good and what is good is evil. They are misinterpreting it. They are disregarding whole portions of the Scripture to justify, yes, to justify their evil desires. And all in the name of love and freedom, of which there is no love and freedom in what they're doing, what they're saying. The devil is always marketing idolatry. In truth, he is behind every idol. He wants you to believe that you can be happy and satisfied without God in your life. In fact, like I said, he's behind every idol. He's positing to you that money, sex, power, whatever, is your happiness. Bow down to me, because he's behind every idol. And you can have anything you want in this world. And how does he operate? What's his modus operandi? The devil bluffs. He schemes. He tricks. He intimidates. He appears as an angel of light and leading you away from Christ. He tempts you to have it your way through your anger, your greed, your sloth, your vengeance, or anything that pleases us. We all have a vulnerability. And we ought to know what it is, because the devil will use it. And the devil knows his time is short, as it tells us in the book of Revelation. And he wants to take as many with him as he can, because he's really aiming at God. And because we're precious to God, he wants to take us away from God to that ultimate place of destruction, hell. And that's no joke either. So number two, enter Jesus, our champion, our hero. Jesus is the first human being to go one-on-one with the devil and completely defeat him. Jesus came into the world, as it says in 1 John, to destroy Satan and his works. And Satan continually attacked Jesus. We have the temptation here in the wilderness, but that was just a beginning. Everywhere Jesus went, he encountered demons. Everywhere he went, he encountered temptations with Satan. At every turn, there he was, the tempter. And it probably reached its peak in the Garden of Gethsemane, leading to the crucifixion. You can imagine Satan's temptations. Imagine what he might have said to Jesus. I imagine this. These people are not worthy of your sacrifice. You know what they're about. You know what they've done. They're not worthy of you, Lord. He wouldn't have called him Lord. Or how about this? God has forgotten you. He has deserted you. Or how about this? You can avoid the humiliation and pain and wreak vengeance on your enemy and enjoy the pleasures of this world. All you have to do is just disobey your heartless father who sent you on this mission. They're not worthy. He's deserted you. Each time Jesus was tempted, he submitted his will to the Father's will. And the impact was just this. Just as we share in the consequences of Adam's sin, so each of us shares in Christ's obedience. You heard it in the second lesson. For just as though the disobedience of one man, many were made sinners, St. Paul writes, so also through the obedience of one man, many are made righteous. And that one man is Jesus. You know, I've always liked this simple story that I'm going to tell you to help us understand exactly what Jesus did. I've used it often. It's from a French writer named Henri Barbusse, who was in a trench in World War I. And while in the trench, he overheard a conversation. You see, one man in the trench was dying, and he knew it. He had only minutes to live. And he turned to this other man and said, "Listen, Dominic, you've lived a horrible life. Everywhere you are wanted by the name is clear. So here, take my wallet, take my papers, take my identity and my good name, my life, quickly, and hand me your papers and your identity, and I'll take them to my death." How did Isaiah put it? "The Lord has laid on him," Jesus, "the iniquity of us all." Jesus carried away all your crimes, all your sins, all those thoughts you thought nobody could know that you thought, those evil things. He carried them to the cross, and he buried them. And at the resurrection of Jesus, the victory against the devil and evil was secured. And Jesus became your champion for all time, delivering the victory to us. He's our hero. He loves us that much. So, number three, how then can we live in the victory Jesus has won for us? I think it's very simply, first of all, we have to admit that we're sinners. I think it's easy for us to do. If it's not, come and talk to me. I'll show you your sin. I can do it in under 10 minutes, if you're honest, right? Yeah, we admit we're sinners. We're in need of grace of Jesus Christ. And then number two, you have to know and believe you're covered by the grace and forgiveness of Christ, and that he applied it to you personally, personally. Satan wants you to believe that God doesn't have a good heart, and that your particular sins, you know, the ones you do over and over and over again, are excluded from the grace that he won for you. Just your sins. And I know many of us suffer with that idea. How could he love me? I keep doing the thing I hate to do. Have you seen those Allstate insurance commercials that feature the mayhem guy? Anybody seen those? Right. I think they're hilarious. This crazy guy who personifies mayhem brings people to every kind of chaos. He's in the car with them. He's distracting them. You know, they have accidents and all this destruction. He's at a wedding. I remember that one because that scares me because I do weddings. You know, mayhem happens. And what's the point of these commercials? Commercial's point is you may not be covered by your cut-rate insurance. You need to get Allstate insurance, right? I don't know if that's true or not. To believe the gospel of Jesus Christ means you are absolutely convinced that you will not be deserted when sins of weakness and mayhem in your life occurs. Because you're covered. You're covered by the grace of Jesus Christ. I think we have to say that sometimes to ourselves. In fact, I want to say it right now. I want you to join me. Let's just say, I'm covered. And believe it. Ready? One, two, three. I'm covered. You're covered by what? Yeah, by grace of Jesus or Jesus Christ. By grace. The love of Jesus Christ is infinite. And it covers us with his mercy. He loves us that much. Now, to live in this victory of Jesus and to benefit from it, we need to follow him closely. In other words, we have to get right behind him. After all, he's chosen us. That's what grace means. He's chosen us. He's given us the faith to believe in him. Now, we get behind him. We don't kind of go around him or get out in front alone. How do you follow closely? You stay in the Word. You pray. You worship. You take communion. You stay right behind Jesus. What you're doing right now, you're staying behind him. It's when you stray that the devil can pick you off. A stray sheep, to use the biblical imagery, is in real danger. People who are not following Jesus right now are in danger. They're in danger. They are. Practice following Jesus closely. Let him never be far from your consciousness. Remember, you're covered. His grace has chosen you. Finally, when Satan comes around Jesus and attacks you, as he still will, right, when he attacks you, resist him by the power of Spirit and flee from that temptation. As it said, or flee from temptation, but resist him and he'll flee from you. James 4:7. So the biblical adage is always right. Flee temptation, resist Satan. How do you resist him? Just know who you are in Christ. Say it to yourself if you want. If you feel guilt that you're sorry about, just say, I'm covered. Say it to yourself. I'm covered by the grace of Jesus Christ. Come to terms with your temptation. You know where he's going to come. You know what you're tempted by in your own desires. You know where he's going to come at you. Get ready for the next battle, because it's coming. But remember, you're covered. Win or lose, you're covered. Follow Jesus closely. Resist Satan. Remember, Satan's coming at you with about your identity. Are you a child of God? Are you? Yes, you are. Are you covered? Yes, you are. Are you chosen? Yes, you are. Because you believe in Jesus Christ, that he was a real person, that he died on a cross for your sins. We have a champion, my friends. We have a hero, the greatest hero of all. And we're lined up behind him. If the bully comes, that's Satan, then Jesus stands right there in front of us. He steps from behind us, comes in front of us. And he sends the bully scurrying away. He is Jesus Christ, Savior and Lord. Hold fast to him. Believe in his love for us. The old evil foe has been defeated. The victory has been handed to us. Hold on to it. In Jesus, we're his disciples. He chose us and he loves us. In his name and to his glory. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Please rise. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, now and always. Amen.